Welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liel. And I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And coming to you from the edge of the land of Babylon, I bid you hello, and I welcome you to another session where we will examine the report of truth and the assessment that many are denying. And from this location, I must report that the four winds are about to bring great change to the landscape and allow great chains to be placed on the people. Change and chains. Similar words that are arriving. The people wanted change, and their desire is being confirmed by their empty pockets. And in their blindness, they did not realize that they would be looted of their jobs, their money, their wealth, and their dignity. Attention, people of America. To desire change means that there shall be many empty hands with a longing to buy a loaf of bread. And for the millions that chanted those words, change means that America's next act is going to include a population of panhandlers. But still, they asked for it, and their roar was loud, and so were the cheers. So destiny shall oblige their requests. And now, many Americans are beginning to say something else. Brother, can you spare a dime? Ladies and gentlemen, change is arriving, and with it, the chains of bondage. In times past, America's freedom rang in the hearts of her people. But that was then, because now, freedom's song has become an annoying sound. So freedom tried to comfort her people, and freedom rang the bell. But then, freedom was arrested for disturbing the peace. And in her sorrow, freedom was shoved to the back of the line, and now she is fading away like an autumn flower, soon to be a memory that will lose the battle to the coming winter of darkness. Change was the promise made by a crusader on a campaign, but the promise was a disguise, and now change will be the brush that paints the day into night. Change will be the rudder that steers the people into the rocks. Change will be the jewelry that the people place around their neck, and it will become the garment of their yoke. Change will be the song that lulls the blind ones to sleep, and the pill that silences their thoughts. And as changes come, the bell of freedom will forget her song and become a tired relic, abandoned and forgotten. The promises of change were the words of a curse, and with delight, they bought their ticket to their vacation. But this change will not just be the words on a sign. This change will bellow the iron of a red-hot forge and hammer its promise into heavy shackles. Their chains of bondage and tyranny. The nation of America, may she rest in peace. And may the bell toll for her life that is now lost. And may God have mercy on her many souls. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the story of America is about souls. Souls that will live on after this short life. And sadly, many of America's souls have become blinded to the coming fate of this nation. And they do not know, nor do they believe, that these things are flowing towards them in a fury. In times past, America had a hedge protecting her. She had her fortified walls that were chiseled by God Almighty to steer away the winds. But now her walls have been breached. America's siege has begun. She is surrounded, and the flaming darts of opposition have pounded her hedge into powder. Ladies and gentlemen, the enemy is at the gate, and this enemy is not alone, because now the jackals of hell, the monsters from off the path, are assembling, and they are circling The princes with dark wings are hovering and cackling like vultures who have spotted a meal. And this meal is the land of America. My friends, another chapter approaches. This means that the narrative is going to be written by the angel of the Lord, the heavenly secretary with the writer's inkhorn. And he's going to pen the next part of America's history. Folks, it will be written. And in the background, the land will hear the echo of crumbling walls, shattered dreams, and nighttime tears. And it is a course that is not going to be stopped. Unfortunately, it is time that we, the people of God, come to terms with this report. Denial will not silence the coming sounds. And attacking the messenger will not make the judgment train disappear. And hating me will not cancel your participation, although having hatred for anyone may change the terms of your warranty. And when I say warranty, I mean the warranty, the promise of God's remedy, the promises of God's protection, God's provision, God's involvement to see you through. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not glory in America's shame. I'm saddened by her fall, just like most of you are. And for years, we've met together and I've shared my heart of the good memories I used to have with this once great land. But now, I've gotten older and I've seen the changes. The changes have happened before our eyes, folks. Our beloved land, our beloved America has become a stranger in many ways. And most of you know what I mean. You know what's going on. Most of you are smart. You have discernment. You see it. You know what's coming. And if you're like me, a lot of you want to know what to do. And I know that many members of God's remnant listen to this program because where you live, it may be lonely. You feel all alone and most people around you are foreign to what time it is. And they don't want to hear it or even listen to you. But my friend, please know that you are not alone. Because God has many people just like you living in the crooks, in the crannies, and in the crags of America. Some of them are outside America. And folks, do you know what knits us together? Jesus does. Because you love him. You want more of him. You want his help. You desire his peace and his shelter. You need his mercy. And while some of you may be strong right now as you're listening to this program, there may be others that are weak. Some of you may be feeling very weak. Some of you may be going through a fiery trial. And the listeners of this program are represented by many levels of victory or defeat. But the thing that this audience has in common with one another is you want to be ready for what's coming. And folks, my job is to try to share some things with you that hopefully can help you, that hopefully will explain what's going on in this crazy world. Perhaps some little tidbit of something that I say will challenge you or refresh you or inform you. But it appears that a big storm is coming, folks, and my spirit suffers much grief. It's been experiencing a lot of sorrow lately, and I can feel it, and so can many of you. Ladies and gentlemen, members of the faith, great sorrow and lamenting is approaching, and I have a few things that I need to share. If you're new to this program, the website is watchmanscry.com. And if you're a first-time listener, I want to welcome you. If you've seen the title of this program, this is part 7 of the Olympic series. But today's program is going to be entirely different than what we have done up to this point, because in the first 6 parts, we have been dissecting the opening ceremony and we've been looking under the hood. We've been unlocking the secrets of their dark sentences. And we have seen that a grand announcement was made to the entire planet several months ago that the New World Order was here. and not only the New World Order, but many elements of the New World Order. And because of that announcement that they made, I felt the need to share these things so that we will not be caught unaware. But in the last six programs, I know that a lot of the information that I have shared can be very heavy because it seems like they're winning. It's just darkness that's coming. It seems like we're being overshadowed with the enemy. I know that I've exposed a lot of evil, a lot of darkness. But the reason I did that, folks, was so that there can be an awareness that the time for playing games is behind us. And now it's time to, in layman's terms, it's time to get with the program. It's time for us to fulfill those obligations that we all have spiritually. It's time for us to quit waiting till January the 1st for a New Year's resolution on our spiritual walk. And it's time for us to do homework on ourselves. Because as these things come upon the earth, we're going to need the help of God to endure. And without the help of God, we will not make it, folks. So the first six parts, as I was saying, have been to expose what's coming. But in this program today, it's part seven, and I felt that it was appropriate, since it was part seven, to look at the other side of the equation and to discuss and share what God is going to do for us. We're going to talk about getting a hold of the remedy that can only be found in God on today's program. So I would say that today's program is the most important out of the entire series. I want to ask that you listen to these programs in their entirety. And if you have to, listen to them more than once. And I'm pretty sure that by the time we get going, you will see what I'm talking about. And you will agree with me that this is a very, very valuable program. Ladies and gentlemen, this program has been a very huge undertaking. But I've done it to share it with the world, to warn the world that it's time for us to get ready. So if you appreciate this ministry, we appreciate your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. Again, my friends, today I'm going to share a message that I hope and pray will be very encouraging to you. I hope that it challenges you, and I hope that it puts things in the correct perspective for you. Now, on these programs, I know that I share a lot of quote-unquote doom, but that's one of my jobs as a watchman. Because when I'm on the wall, I must report what's coming. And right now, there are a lot of things approaching, folks. But in addition to sharing the assessment, I must also share the information on what we need to be doing. What do we do, folks? That's the question that needs to be answered. And in order to summarize what to do, we must first acknowledge that we're not only physical beings. This life is temporary. Most of you know that. We have a spirit inside of us. There's a spirit inside of you. And the condition of your spirit is a very important thing to God. If you're listening to this program, wherever you are, I'm speaking to you. You need to be doing something about your spirit right now. Because in the coming future, it's going to be impossible for a human being to weather the storm without God's help. Impossible, folks. Muscles and bullets cannot fight off the demonic flying spirits that are going to flap their wings over your city and over your town. I know that there are a lot of preparation programs that are talking about all the things going wrong with the world and all of the evil things happening to America, all of the bad politics that are happening and occurring here in the United States. A lot of people are talking about who's at fault, who's guilty, which political party is at fault, who wasn't paying attention. And while many individuals can have programs and blame other human beings, whether they be politicians or bankers or elite members of some dark occultic society, we're also faced with an enemy that is much stronger than them. Because the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Folks, wherever you live, you wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. There are spirits that exist that are enemies of God, whose sole purpose is to mess up your life and to mess up the lives of your loved ones. Their sole purpose is to destroy your marriage, your relationship with God, and your relationships with other people, other Christians. They want to destroy you. They want to see you give up. They want to see you downcast and angry at God. They want to see you blame God. These are the things we're up against, folks. And while, yes, there are a lot of players in this story, they're just humans. And there are forces behind the scenes that do not have to go to sleep at night. There are entities that live in an entirely different dimension. And my friends, those entities are going to be entering the story. Some of them are already starting to enter the story. That's one of the key things that I wanted to get across in this Olympic series. There are enemy spirits that are going to come upon this planet, and they're going to wreak havoc throughout the world, not just in America. They're going worldwide, and they have an assignment, they have a mandate, and they plan to get their jobs accomplished. And this is an area of the preparation manual. The one thing that many, many people are not paying attention to are demonic spirits flapping their wings, flying over their city. And my friend, it doesn't matter how many sniper rifles you have, how many bullets you have. What are you going to do when these creatures show up on your property and your night vision goggle can't see them? What are you going to do when they're walking up your driveway and your fancy rifle scope cannot see them? What do we do when these impy demons show up and they come in groups of 5 or 10 and they jump over your fence and walk through your woods and your trees, walk down your street? What do we do? What are you going to do? What's your plan? Folks, this thing cannot be left out of the equation, and it is being left out of the equation from most of the well-meaning people who know what time it is. And because of that, I need to talk about it. We need to know what to do. And today, I'm going to share with you what you need to do, what we all need to do. Now, it would be easy to say, have a to-do list of the physical things and then get prepared spiritually. If that's all I said, and then I said, okay, thanks for coming, thanks for listening, we'll see you next time, bye-bye, to just say get prepared spiritually is going to leave out a lot of things. So today on this program, we are going to talk about how to get prepared spiritually. Now, I want to ask this, my friends. Please, I could probably say please 3 to 4 to 5 times, but that's how serious this is. Please pay attention to what I'm about to say. We are approaching the fulfillment of many things. We're going to be seeing the fulfillment of who the players are going to be from the human standpoint, and the rearrangement of the chess pieces when it comes to the nations of planet Earth. The teams are being picked right now. And right now where we are in late 2012, all of these things are coming together. The New World Order is coming together. And the forces beyond the physical realm made the announcement. They made their dark prophecies of their plan. These things are going to happen. And there's a lot of parts to their plan. There are a lot of things that they intend to do to you and your family and your lifestyle. And all of these things that are happening right now are lining up with Bible prophecy. Now, in the past, students of prophecy would just read about how it's going to be when the time came. Do you remember that, folks? Remember in the 80s? We read those books on how it was going to happen. And when we were reading about it 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we weren't worried about our kids and our family. We weren't worried about legislation that was about to pass by the governing authorities. We weren't worried about the Constitution being butchered before our eyes. We weren't worried that any day now the checkpoints could rise up in the middle of the night and surprise us as we're driving about. We didn't have to worry about that back then. And also, back then when we were reading those books, how many can remember that there was a lot of speculation? There was a lot of guessing. And I know that a lot of the guesswork was well-intended, but now here where we are in late 2012 and beyond, folks, we are going to be living it. We're going to experience it. We're going to witness it. And we're going to have to deal with it. From this point on, our focus is going to need to be the correct focus. We have no choice. It can't be limited to wrong things. It must be able to see the complete picture. That's a big challenge. So how do we do that? It's not going to be accomplished with our eyes closed. Or in other words, we cannot think that our understanding is complete. We cannot. We have to acknowledge and recognize that there's a lot of things that still need to be discovered. And thinking that we have it figured out is a very dangerous position to be in. And when I say figured out, I'm talking about Bible prophecy, looking for all of the signs that we have been reading about for the past 30 years. Or another dangerous position to be is complacent, to have the attitude that, well, you know, I don't worry about that stuff. It's just a waste of time. It's just going to stress you out. Don't worry about it. So what am I trying to say? There needs to be a wise balance. Key word, folks, wise. Because it says in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, that in the end times, the wise will understand. And none of us are going to get wise by being casual about the fall of America. Because, folks, that's what's going on right now. We are witnessing the fall of the United States of America. And we cannot be complacent about it and take it lightly or dismiss it or ignore it or pretend it's not happening. That will serve no purpose for your family. In addition to the fall of America, we are entering an incredible period of time. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 42, Jesus said, "Watch therefore." He told us to watch, folks. So we need to try to watch. We must attempt to be wise. We need to attempt to watch. And to do this, we need to be Bereans. And Bereans are those who seek to know the things found in scriptures. Those are the ones that seek to research, to study, to dig. A Berean does not say, "I already know the answer, so I don't want to hear what you have to say." That's not a Berean, folks. We need to be Bereans. We need to be thirsty and hungry for the truth of God. I also want to say this, and I don't know how possible it is, but I would wish that pastors far and wide would get a hold of this concept that we need to seek to know, because then if they seek to know, then they can help their people. If you might be a pastor listening, please think about what I'm saying. I've run across many, many pastors who, for some reason, are shut off from the warning message. They shut off when it comes to telling them what time it is. I don't know if it's because they become fearful or if they get scared. I don't know what it is, but it seems that 95% of the preachers that I try to share my warning message with, they cut me off. They don't want to hear it. Or they attempt to silence me by telling me that they already know the answers and the signs that they're looking for are not the signs that I'm mentioning, and they're resorting to the established Hal Lindsey doctrine, the Tim LaHaye story, the narrative found in the Left Behind series, and they're looking for the signs that they know are going to happen. That's it. They don't want to hear about anything else. I find it very interesting that the majority, 99% of evangelical pastors, will not admit that America is Babylon. They're stuck in the same paradigm of 20 or 30 years ago. And if you might be a pastor, please think about what I'm saying, because most pastors aren't going to listen to this, but I hope that you will. Because in end time prophecy, if you're a pastor, please think about this and consider this. Also, listeners, you've already heard me talk about this, but I'm going to mention it again. I've said this so many times, and I wish that I could announce this from the wall to all the tens of thousands of pastors nationwide, and I wish that they would understand what I'm saying right here. This is what it is. In end time prophecy, God is, my friends, He is going to throw a curveball prophetically. Now, what that means is some end time Bible prophecy
is going to happen in ways that we did not see coming or in ways that we did not expect. Why? Well, here's why, folks. Because Daniel says the wise will understand and keep it sealed to the end. Because some things are just sealed up. So if something is sealed up till the end, but then you have a Bible scholar trying to figure out what it means, he is not going to figure out if it's sealed. That's a simple equation. If something is inside of a lockbox and it's shut with a big padlock on it, it's going to be hard to guess what's inside of it. That's how Bible prophecy is when it's sealed up. But in the time of the end, it'll start becoming unsealed, which means if we're in the time of the end, as it reveals itself, we're going to see it happening in a way that was not advertised in the cover of the best-selling prophecy book 20 years ago. That means that we're going to see things and scratch our heads and have to say, whoa, I didn't think it could happen that way, but actually, now it makes more sense. But unfortunately, folks, the majority of Christians are going to stay blind because they did not seek it out. Or perhaps they were too apathetic. Maybe they didn't have enough time to study. Maybe they didn't study at all. Or they were too stubborn, prideful, and arrogant to be taught by the Holy Spirit. But my friends, the remnant of God is not so. We are seeking to understand these things. And that's why I appreciate you as a listening audience, because I know that many of you are seeking to understand this. We are on this journey together. I'm on this journey with you, folks. But I need the Holy Spirit to teach me, and I rely on the Holy Spirit to give me the answers. And God will teach us if we ask Him. If we seek Him, if we search it out with humbleness and the right attitude, He's going to show us. And that's my desire, to be taught by the Holy Spirit, to discover it, the hidden manna, and to share it with you. And I appreciate that many of you also desire to have that attitude. So why am I saying this right now? Here's why, folks. Because according to the outlook, to the prophetic weather, the signs about, the events unfolding, it appears that the big, big players of end time prophecy are rising up. And when I say the big players, I'm talking about the New World Order, end time global one world government empire, and the mystery kingdom of Babylon. And if you live on planet Earth, your home country is going to see change while these things happen. Big change, my friends. Now, what does that mean? It says in the book of Revelations that the beast is going to take over the whole world. It's going to break the earth in pieces. It's going to divide it up. We've talked about that. The world's going to get divided up into different economic regions eventually when they come up with their new currency, their new money. There's going to be different unions. We've spoken about that. And as these changes come, it's going to be forced upon all the citizens of this planet. So it doesn't matter where you live. If you're in South America, Middle America, if you're in the West, if you're down under, if you're in Europe, the Middle East, it does not matter. All of us are going to experience this. And while the New World Order, One World Global Government rises up, it's not going to be a casual event. It's going to be scary. It's going to be challenging. Because as this thing arises and arrives on planet Earth, it's going to bring something with it. It's going to be clothed with a dark cloak of black evil. And this darkness is going to arrive throughout the world. Not just in America. It's going to arrive in Canada. It's going to arrive down in South America. It's going to arrive, folks. The darkness is coming. And as the darkness also arrives, it's going to get hard to see. Because when it's dark, it's hard to see. Unless you have a flashlight. But if it's hard to see, then some things do not appear as they really look. It's going to be hard to make out images and be able to see everything clearly because it's going to be dark, which means deception's going to happen. And as this deception comes forth, it's going to be fueled by these spirits and entities that I've been talking about. And this means that trials are going to increase. The trials of life, the trials in your life are going to increase. And the calm waters that usually appear between the trials of life, the season of calm waters are going to grow shorter. The seasons of trial are going to grow longer.
So it's going to be a whole different way of living, my friends. And I know that what I'm saying right now sounds a little bit spooky and negative and dark. Nathan, I'm hearing what you're saying and it's scaring me. I'm depressed. My friend, I'm not saying this to depress you or scare you. I'm saying this to warn you. I'm saying this so that you will know it's going to get dark. And if it's going to get dark, you need to have a spiritual flashlight. If I didn't tell you it was going to get dark and you didn't get a spiritual flashlight and then it did get dark, what condition would you be in? You wouldn't have a light. Now, possibly on your own initiative, you might have procured a light from some other source because you felt the need to have it. And I also believe this, folks. I believe that the Holy Spirit is using a lot of different means to warn His people. I believe that His antenna is sending out a signal. And those that are part of the remnant of God, those that are able to listen to the Holy Spirit and have discernment, they're hearing that things are ramping up, that it's going to get different. The landscape is changing. He's sending a lot of people the knowledge that only comes from the whisper of the Holy Spirit. They just know. Some of you just know that the future doesn't look right. So you're trying to get ready. But you're also listening to this program because you want to hear what the Holy Spirit might have told me. And I appreciate that because I'm going to share some things today. Now, the biggest challenge that we have, if you're a Christian, the biggest challenge is going to be getting spiritually stronger. Now, I want to say real quick, if you are not a Christian, you're listening to this program, either you haven't decided to make a commitment to Christ, you haven't accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you're holding off, you're not sure, or maybe you're backslid, you're away from God, but you're listening to this program, I need to be blunt with you, my friend. If you're not a Christian with the things that are coming, this darkness that's coming, the challenges that are coming, there's no other way to say it. You will not make it. Because there's a very good chance that you'll be deceived into evil. And I'm not just saying this out of my opinion. The Bible talks about this. There are prophecies that speak about those that did not turn to God and their hearts grew darker. They became even more blind. They became filled with rage against God. Isaiah chapter 8 talks about those that will lift their fist to God and curse Him and blame Him for the things happening around the earth. If you're not a Christian, there's a good chance that you will be brainwashed into being an enemy of God because you will have no tools to deal with the... Now think about this, folks. This is what's coming. You'll have no tools to deal with the sadness, the grief, the sorrow, the stress, the depression, the fear, the panic, and all of the other controversial emotions that humans battle and have to take drugs to try to forget. The battle's going to be in the mind, my friend, with your emotions. And that blackness of emotions without God is going to be a prison cell that will haunt so many people. But it will be a prison cell that did not have to happen because God could have set them free. By the way, after these people do perish, and if you happen to be, again, a non-Christian, I have to say the truth, my friend. The Bible says that without God, we end up in hell. And I'm sorry to have to say that, but that's the scriptures, my friend. And I'm sorry, there is no reboot. There's no reincarnation. There's no second try or any of that other nonsense. That's it, folks. That's it. So, my friend, please surrender to Jesus. Confess your sins and repent. And if that happens to be you, please keep listening to this program. Listen to this message in its entirety, because we're going to be talking about some very important steps to get a hold of God. We're going to be talking about these matters throughout this message. Now, the rest of you, my remnant friends, those of you that are part of the body of Christ, please hear what I have to say now. Because of what's coming, it will be very, very important that we're able to get a hold of every available spiritual tool at our disposal. Because without these tools, it's going to be difficult to face all of those nasty things, those dark things, those demonic bats that I spoke about earlier. Without the right tools, we won't be able to do it, folks. So today we're going to talk about these needed tools, and we're also going to talk about another huge challenge that faces the people of God. This is what it is, folks. Defeat. Defeat, folks.
Nathan, what kind of defeat are you talking about?
I'm talking about defeat to temptation, defeat to spiritual attacks, emotional attacks, deception, overwhelming emotional struggles, defeat to fear, to failure. A lot of people are in defeat right now. We need to get a hold of things to remedy these defeats that I'm talking about. So to do that, we need to get a hold of God. We need to find the peace of God. And we need to find our assurance with God. What that means is you're in the right standing with God. And you know that you know. There's no doubt. You know that you know that you're in the right place with God. You know, folks, I get a lot of emails from different people, right? And you share with me your struggles and your fears and your prayer needs. And I know that some of you need a breakthrough. Some of you are battling doubt. Some of you are even doubting your salvation. Some of you are under condemnation because Satan keeps attacking you and telling you that you're a loser. I know that some of you feel like giving up, and when you pray, it feels like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. The heavens are brass. I know you're out there, my friends. Perhaps some of you have even stumbled recently, and you're having difficulty getting back up. Some of you are depressed, you're oppressed, and you can't seem to shake off that thing, whatever it may be. And ladies and gentlemen, if I described you in this list, you need to have your feet planted on the rock. So ladies and gentlemen, let's build ourselves and equip ourselves on the rock. We need to. We must. We have no choice. You have no choice. I want to see you in victory. And I'm going to go out on the limb right now. And I'm going to say this. If you are in need of a touch from God, then I want to ask this. If you are willing to listen and pay attention to the rest of this message, and if you are willing to devote your undivided attention with your Bible, and if you get a pen and paper and you take notes and you're focused, undisturbed, and if you really think about what I'm going to share, I believe that God is going to touch many, many people that are listening to this program. And if you are hungry for Him, I believe that He's also going to touch you. And you notice that I didn't say you'll learn something on this program. Folks, I'm not just talking about our intellect. My desire is that you experience something. My desire is that you encounter Him, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That you encounter Him, the Creator of the universe, His presence, His Spirit. My prayer is that you encounter Him, that you have a breakthrough, that the heavens will no longer be brass, that the heavens will open up before you. And by faith, I say in the name of Jesus, this word is not going to fall to the ground. It's going to bless, and it's going to heal, and it's going to restore. So folks, get your pen and paper, get your Bible, and let's have church. Now to get started, I have to give a background of an event that happened in the Old Testament. And by examining the event that happened to God's people, we are going to glean biblical truth on similar events that are about to happen to America and to you and I. Now, if you're a regular listener, you have heard me speak about how over the years the Holy Spirit has shared with me that Lamentations is coming to America, which means that the events that happened to Judah in the Old Testament in the time of Jeremiah are going to mirror similar events for America. Over the past few weeks, I have revealed and released some very important warnings about some findings that I have been able to uncover in the scriptures when they had to do with ancient Babylon and how they are going to also be affecting us. And while I am not saying that the exact course of events that happened to ancient Judah, to Israel, to God's people back then are going to exactly happen in our time, I do see a lot of similarities. And here's why, folks. Most of you that are students of prophecy may be aware that prophecy many times happens more than once. It happens twice. And many of the prophecies that apply to ancient Israel also apply to the church. Some of the mistakes that Israel made, the church is making. And the chastisement that God brought upon Israel, He is also bringing upon the church. There are a lot of similarities between Israel and the church. And I'm not talking about replacement theology. It says in the book of Ecclesiastes, that which has been will happen again. History rhymes with itself. And just like God used the players that are the enemies of his people in the Old Testament, he allowed the enemies of his people to be the thorn on their sides so that they could be tried and tested to prove their faith. And in the same way, God allows us, members of the church, to also experience things. And to show you what I'm talking about, if you have your Bible, go to the book of Judges, chapter 2. There's a passage of scripture that I need to share. Judges chapter 2. Are you there, folks? I'll give you a second to turn. If you're taking notes, write this down. I'm going to read verse 1 through verse 3. Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Verse 3. Therefore, I also said, this is the Lord talking, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare to you. And so it was when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel, that the people lifted their voices and wept. Now, since the people of Israel did not get rid of the enemy, God decided that they were going to be a snare to them, a thorn in their side. And then in the next chapter, chapter 3, if you can turn, verse 1 and 2 say something that's also very interesting. These are the nations which the Lord left that he might test Israel by them. That is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. Because these were the children of Israel, they had not grown up with war, so God left enemies so that they could learn war. Now, isn't that interesting? And then it goes on, verse 2. This was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it. If we back up to the end of chapter 2, verse 21, it says, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Now, folks, right there is a summary of why God allows evil to be in this world. He does it to test us. He does it to see if we will keep his ways or not. So God uses enemies to test us. And this is why Satan is allowed to lurk to and fro on the earth. This is why Satan is allowed with his imps to attack the people of God so that we can learn war. Now, folks, that is one of the most important things to remember from this message. The things that are coming upon the earth, the events that are coming to this planet, are for the purpose of teaching God's people to know war and to overcome. And the only way that we can know war and overcome is to face spiritual war. I'm talking about spiritual war, folks. And also to be challenged and have the opportunity to choose to overcome. To either choose, as it says in verse 21, Judges 2:21, to see whether we will keep the ways of the Lord and walk in them or not. So that's one of the established principles that needs to be understood. And how interesting is it? I shared this in the last program. Folks, think about this. How interesting is it that at the very beginning of time, we see Nimrod rise up and build a city called Babylon? And through the deception of Satan using Nimrod and his wife Semiramis, false religions were invented, deities were invented that went worldwide and to this day are a snare to this planet. Babylon has influenced this world from the very beginning of time. And then we see the children of Israel moving forward to the time of Jeremiah, when the children of Israel followed the gods of Babylon. They followed the Baals, Baal worship. the Asheroth, the high places, the totems. You know, folks, in the Olympic ceremony, there were some images of the maypole, the totems, the pillars, the towers, the high places. Those pagan symbols have been used throughout time as points of contact for the fertility rituals of Baal. Those have been around forever. And the children of Israel, because they would not stop worshiping Baal and these things that I'm mentioning, got judged. And how interesting is it, folks? The elements of worship, the elements of false worship, the elements of the occult, the elements of their harlotry, the founding kingdom that came up with this many, many years previous is the same kingdom that invaded Israel and took them to captivity. Babylon, once again, was used as a chastisement and a punishment for the people of God. And when they were carried off to captivity, they were in the trial for the remainder of their lives in captivity to Babylon. And every one of those individuals lived their life in Babylon's prison, in the culture of Babylon. And we are not told about a lot of those people that were carried off, but I'm going to talk about what Babylon does when it takes a person captive, because that is one of the fundamental truths that needs to be harvested from this program. Babylon will test the people of God, and the people of God are going to have a choice on the outcome of that test. So the people of Judah were carried off as captives, and they were tried by Babylon. Now let's move forward to the very end of time. Once again, we read in the book of Revelation, Mystery Babylon rises up, takes over the whole world. And Mystery Babylon is going to play a role, once again, on the people of God. And Mystery Babylon is going to be used to test the people of God. And while the people of God are being tested by Babylon, let me say this, folks, they're also going to be tempted by the kingdom of Babylon. It's a whole package. And depending on the outcome of each individual, they will either succeed or fail. They will either overcome or they will be defeated. They will either endure or they will perish. Every person's going to have their turn. But we're going to all go through this together, my friends, because the spirit of Babylon is now arriving on this planet. And I have shared that that spirit of Babylon is entering the United States of America. And based on my observations, I believe that the shroud of darkness that is going to include the influence of Babylon is about to cover, like a dark blanket, the United States of America. So we are going to have to come to terms with this. We have to be able to see this through this lens, through this perspective. It's the people of God being purged and tested by Babylon. So my friends, as you're listening to this program, you're going to have your own trial with Babylon. You get to decide whether you're going to become a part of Babylon or if you will stay in exile, a person from another land, a pilgrim passing through, a person on assignment to represent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Folks, darkness is coming and Babylon is going to emerge. And as it does, it's going to have a residue and a sludge. And this sinful dark residue of Babylon, it's sticky and it's going to want to get on you. This means that living in Babylon is hard. It's hard, folks. So step one for our victory and our endurance is that we must acknowledge this. We live in Babylon, and living in Babylon is hard. Folks, no one is immune. Whether you're old or whether you're young alike, Babylon wants to chain you up as a prisoner. And while I do share that these things are coming, the reason that I have to say this is to establish that we do have a challenge. Because in Jeremiah's time, God's people were carried off to exile. They were carried off in captivity, in chains. They were prisoners. And their lifestyle was forced to change. They saw many changes. And that's why at the opening of this program, I was talking about change. The people during the campaign of Obama were hollering, "We want change, we want change." And folks, little do they know that change is going to come. And those changes are going to be Babylon's change. And for most of them, they're going to love it. Those that are spiritually dead, those that are going to hell, those that hate God, they're going to love those dark changes. But for the people of God, as Babylon gets stronger, these changes are going to affect our culture.
They're going to affect other ways of our life. Dark ways and pagan ways. And ways that are acceptable to the majority of the population. This world is changing, my friends. Darkness is arriving. And as this world gets darker, it's going to grow more agnostic, more atheistic, more pagan, more anti-God, more anti-Christ. We're entering a new envelope of time, a new chapter. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that on January the 20th, Inauguration Day, at 12 noon, Barack Hussein Obama, if nothing interferes, if Romney doesn't protest and say the election was stolen, I demand a recount, and if none of that happens, and it would be a miracle if it did, but if none of that happens, and the odds are that it won't, if none of that happens, Barack Hussein Obama Barry Sotero is going to enter his second term as president of Dying America. And when that happens, I maintain that something very dark is going to happen in the spiritual realm over America. There's going to be something happen behind the scenes that's going to be very powerful. I believe that flapping dark wings from other entities are going to hover over Washington, D.C., and something very evil is going to take place as the president enters his next term. And because that great evil is going to happen, a new spiritual climate is going to arrive in America. And as that spiritual climate of darkness arrives over this country, it's going to bring a lot of things with it, including more temptation. The spirits of Baal are going to be working overtime to get you to stumble, to defeat you. We're going to see the transforming of America that was once free into America, Mystery Babylon, the daughter of Babylon, the spiritual anomaly of the end times. It's going to morph into a kingdom with a new mood. And as this happens, as America becomes Babylon in the invisible realm, God's people are going to find themselves exiled in the spiritual realm. That means we are going to find ourselves exiled, my friends. And when we find ourselves in exile, there's going to be a desire for the oppressors to make God's people believe that they are spiritually away from God, that they are defeated, that God has forgotten them. I'm sharing these things because this is so important to get a hold of and understand. The easy way of living is gone. And the easy faith that got us to this point will no longer be easy. Because we are going to need to develop a new kind of faith. Faith is going to be needed to resist. Faith is going to be needed so that we can be steadfast, so that we can endure. When Daniel was carried off as an exile with his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were exiled in a new land and a new culture. And they were faced with temptations. They were faced with the choice to go along with the dictates of Babylon or to resist it. Now, folks, think about this. When King Nebuchadnezzar built that image of gold, and he told everybody, when the music starts, I want you to bow down and worship it. The three Hebrew children said no. But in that crowd of thousands and thousands of people, how many other Hebrew children bowed down on that day? How many of others of those that were taken off into exile and captivity were in that crowd that day? I submit this to you, folks. There were a few of them. Many of the exiles bowed down so that they can save their hide. And they worshiped a false god. And after they bowed down and the music was finished playing, and then they could stand up, then they had a new course in life. They looked at one another and said, huh, wow, you bowed down, so did I. Huh. Did they justify themselves? Were they disappointed in themselves as they looked across the field and saw others that they thought were spiritual giants? When they saw others that were maybe even leaders in the spiritual climate of Judah and Jerusalem, and then they saw them bow down, what did they think of then? What did the angels think? What did God think? They had their choice. They had the choice to bow down or to stay loyal to God. And in the same way, my friends, Babylon, as it takes over America, is going to also bring scenarios where we will have our faith tested, where you will get to decide to stay loyal or to forsake God. Now, my friends, we need to know that this is going to happen. We need to know about these things going in. Folks, as Babylon's influence grows stronger and stronger around us,
Your tolerance towards Babylon is also going to be affected. And our tolerance toward these things is going to affect our victory and our endurance. So the question that must be asked right now is, are we going to be part-time Christians? Are you going to be a closet Christian? Are you going to be a, folks, I have to say it. Are you going to be a flaky Christian? What? What are you going to be? Babylon's going to have an effect on us. Now, the Bible does not give a lot of account on how many of those exiles fared in their new surroundings. We have the story of Daniel and, of course, the three Hebrew children. One thing that we do have is the aftermath of the exile. Because Jeremiah prophesied that they would be exiles for 70 years. After the 70 years was over, then the time of exiles had come to an end, and then it was time for all of those people who had been living in Babylon to come home. Now, in the course of that 70 years, Babylon got invaded by Persia. Persia happens to be modern-day Iran, so the Persians took over, and the Persians set the people of God free. Now, folks, that's a side note, but isn't that interesting? Babylon took the people of God captive, and the Persians set them free. Interesting. In a program in the future, I'm going to be talking about this, but let's talk about the exiles in the aftermath. Let's visit that now. And the reason I want to visit this is because I want to paint a picture of what they went through, what they had to deal with, and some of the mess that they were in, some of the problems they faced, the challenges that they faced. And when we look at the aftermath of the exiles, after they were set free, there are several things that I notice as I examine these things. One of the first things I noticed was that Babylon made a mess of things. Babylon had an impact on the people of God, on their city. Babylon affected their lives. When Babylon first showed up, Jeremiah makes reference to a lot of the events that happened, but when Babylon arrived, they surrounded the city, and finally, after a period of time, the people in the city grew weary, and Babylon was able to break through the gates, break through the walls, and invade the city, and then take them captive. And when Babylon arrived and attacked Jerusalem, they tore down the walls. Now, in biblical history, Babylon tore down the walls. Number one, what else did they do? They took God's people captive. What else did they do? They murdered. They maimed. They blinded. They applied chains. They demanded loyalty. They killed. They stealed. They destroyed God's house. They oppressed the people religiously. They vandalized God's house. And Jeremiah chapter 39 mentions what Nebuchadnezzar did, and this affected the people. Now, I plan to do another program, another News from the Wall program. I believe it's going to be number 11. I'm not sure. And I'm going to talk about some of the finer points of what I see happening in the coming inauguration, what I believe is going to happen behind the scenes. So please be looking forward to that. You can go to my website, watchmanscry.com, subscribe to my new messages so that you will get that message when it comes out. But when Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem, it affected the people. And then those people were carried off to exile. Some of them were young, some of them were old. And if you can imagine some of them being 30, 40, 50 years old, that would mean that after 70 years of exile, if we do the math, if they arrived in Babylon at age 30, 70 years later would make them 100. Most likely they didn't survive. Those that were 40, that would be 110. No, most of them died. Those 50 and above, they died. So what this means is while they were in captivity, the generation that was in rebellion to Jeremiah and to God, they all died in captivity in Babylon. And the ones that were set free that got to come back were the children of the exiles. The children of captivity were set free. So I want to observe these children as they came home from Babylon. And in order to do this, there are a lot of areas of scripture that speak about when the exiles were set free. There are several books in the Old Testament that speak about this. There's the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, the book of Haggai, Zechariah. There are several books that speak about the exiles coming home. But when the exiles initially came, they came in waves. One of the first waves that brought the exiles home, and without going into too many details, I just want to speak about the condition of the exiles and the condition of their city. When They first came, Nehemiah came and examined the condition of Jerusalem, and he saw that the walls were torn down. So he started a building program to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. That was one of the first things he did, and this is found in the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah is a historical book, but at the same time, there are many, many layers to the events happening in Nehemiah that speak about the walls getting rebuilt. So one of the first things to acknowledge from Babylon, when Nebuchadnezzar arrived in Jerusalem in the initial attack, he destroyed the walls. So Babylon will destroy walls. So now let's apply this to the spiritual realm. If you're an American Christian, you're going to see the spirit and the shroud of darkness come upon America, and it's going to be fueled by the spirit of Babylon. This is what's going to happen, folks. Number one, we have to acknowledge and face this. Babylon is going to want to put your walls under siege, and it's going to use many different kind of creative weapons to break your walls, your spiritual walls, the walls that surround you, that protect you spiritually. When I say spiritual walls, and when I talk about the attacker, I'm talking about the spirits of darkness, Satan, his fiery darts, his demons, the entities that are out there. They are going to attack the walls of God's people. So folks, number one, we need to acknowledge this. And to just say, well, I'm a super Christian and I'm not worried about it. Folks, the devil's been at this for a long time. He's pretty good at this. Well, Nathan, are you trying to depress me? No, I'm not trying to depress you, but I am saying that we need to acknowledge that we have a very formidable opponent that must not be taken lightly. We need to face the truth, and we need to acknowledge that there's a spiritual battle going on. As I shared in the book of Judges, God's going to allow this so that we can learn the art of war. And that's where spiritual warfare comes in. How do we resist the attacks on our walls? Ladies and gentlemen, when the spirits of Babylon come into America, they are going to attack the Christian families of America. They're going to attack the dads, who are the spiritual heads, the priests of the home. And the number one thing that they're going to attack first is your first line of defense, which is your walls. So what do you have as a fortress for your walls? What do you have? How strong is it? When Nehemiah was rebuilding his walls, there were people that had been living in the area of Judah around Jerusalem. There were Samaritans and Arabs and individuals who were not the children of God. And they mocked Nehemiah and they made fun of him. And they said, Nehemiah is building his walls. If a little fox ran over that wall, it would collapse. So that's the kind of tactic that the enemy will do. He will mock. He will scoff. He'll make fun of you. And this is not something that we can accomplish in just one program, but this is an entire lifestyle change that we need to acknowledge needs to happen in our lives. We need to build our walls, my friends. If you happen to be a mother with children and maybe you're a single mom, you need to build your walls. You cannot be a flaky mom carousing and trying to strengthen your love life while ignoring your spiritual responsibility to your children and to your own spiritual walk. Folks, the walls that we have are only going to be as strong as the effort that we put into them. Now, if perchance you have already been beat up by Babylon, because the beginnings of Babylon have already started and they've been here for a while. It's just that the thickest part of it is going to start arriving in the future. But the first waves have already been here. The ambassadors of Babylon have already been at work here in America. And I want to say this, folks, if perchance you have recently come to a spiritual awakening where you're realizing that where you are now cannot continue, and you're realizing that you have been in bondage to the ways of Babylon, to the ways of the world, and you don't like it anymore, and if you understand now that even though you have been a prisoner, you can now be set free, but since you are free, as you look at your surroundings, you see that your walls are destroyed and torn down. You see that your walls are in terrible condition. My friend, I want to say this. There is hope for you, because what that means is with the help of God, you can rebuild your walls. You can. God wants you to, and He's going to help you do it. He's able to do it. And I want to encourage you to read the book of Nehemiah, because it talks about the attacks that will come when you're trying to build your walls, the opposition that you will face when you're building your walls. It talks about the warfare that you have to be ready. When Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls, the Arab people that I mentioned, the Samaritans that I mentioned, they didn't want to see the Jewish people come back to Israel and rebuild. You know, folks, we have that same problem now. Israel came back in 1948, and the people who were kind of hanging around, they got mad at them, and now they're throwing rocks at them. It's the same story, folks. But Nehemiah was able to rally the people together that were returning, those that had been freed, and he was able to encourage them and rally them to rebuild the wall. So they started working together, but they were worried that they were going to be attacked while they were building their walls. So they had to form night watches, and they had to form guards to be on the watch. And the guards had weapons with them. They had swords and spears and bows ready to fight if the enemies of Israel came and mocked them and attacked them. With one hand, they were doing the construction work, and the other hand, they had a sword ready at their side to fight the enemy. And folks, in the same way, while we are here in Babylon, if perchance your wall has been damaged, if there's a few holes in it, those holes need to be patched up. And the way that it happens, just like Nehemiah, they applied the effort of construction to rebuild the walls, and they had a sword at their side in case they were attacked while they rebuild the walls. So one of the first things that needs to be stated as a principle when facing Babylon as a foe is that the walls are very, very important. And building the walls is an effort that needs to have our focus. My friends, think about your wall. Think about the hedge of protection that you have around you. Think about the boundaries that you have. You know, there are a lot of Christians that struggle, and they are constantly being attacked with oppression and sadness and depression. It seems like things just keep happening. But if you're listening to me and you hear what I'm saying right here, and maybe that's you, I want to ask you to make an honest appraisal of your wall. Does it have breaches? Are there a few holes? Is it not sealed up all the way? Is the gate open? Are you forsaking everything that you need to forsake to make that wall healthy? In other words, are you allowing some of the Babylonians to come inside your property, inside your walls? Are you allowing Babylonian tactics and lifestyle and some of the culture to come within your walls? If you do, you're letting in spies, my friend. You're letting in those that, when you go to sleep, they're going to go unlock your gate and let their friends come in. Folks, this is some of the tactics that we're going to have to engage in ourselves. This is spiritual warfare. If you have strong walls, I do want to say this, folks. If you have strong walls, outside of your walls, the enemy is going to still be camped, waiting for you to have a breach in your wall. They don't leave. They don't get hungry, because entities don't need to sleep. Entities don't need to take a nap. They don't need to go shopping for food and then come back. They can stay there as long as they need to, and they are going to be staying outside your walls, waiting for an opportunity. So this needs to be established, my friends. It's going to take effort to live in Babylon, because Babylon wants to surround your wall. And the effort to make strong walls is going to take your commitment. It's going to take your sacrifice of time. It must be a declared project, just like Nehemiah. It can't be a secret. Folks, when you build a wall around your house, it's not a secret. Everyone can see it. So what this means is, in the spiritual realm, when you are putting a wall around you, you can't do it quietly. It has to be done boldly. It has to be an open confession. And I would even say this. Those of you that have the opportunity, that have the means, that have the ability, walk around your property and pray for God's protection around your property. Walk with your wife. Hold her hand. Walk with your children. Pray out loud. Ask for God's mercy. Nathan, I don't know how to pray like that. Well, then look through the book of Psalms and find some good Psalms about it. Read Psalms and say, Lord, let it be for me also. Read Psalms 91 as you walk, and make it a declaration, a proclamation for your property. Dedicate it to God. Folks, we need to make our walls stronger. The story of Nehemiah, that's one of the root foundational principles that must be harvested from the story of Nehemiah. It's about our walls. Now, as Nehemiah had those that were mocking him and scoffing him, some doubted, some accused. They mentioned an Arab person and a Tobias and other guys opposed Nehemiah. They lied about him. There may be people that lie about you. There may be individuals that falsely accuse you. And the enemy is going to come against you. if you try to make your walls stronger. So my friends, this is part of the tactic that we need to apply to ourselves when we're living in Babylon. Now, as Nehemiah did construction work with one hand and the other hand had the sword to defend himself. Now, what that means is the construction work of the wall has to do with our spiritual life. It's talking about building up our spiritual life. Nathan, how do I do that? Well, growth happens as we put on the mind of Christ. It happens in your spirit, folks. It happens through prayer, happens through fasting. It happens through reading the word, worshiping. It happens through feeding your spirit with nutritional spiritual things from God. It takes effort, my friends, but it takes construction. And it also takes, while you're doing these things, there may be times where you have to use your sword. And that's where spiritual warfare comes in. That's where actively confessing the word out loud when the enemy tries to attack you, just like Jesus did in the wilderness. It is written. Folks, we need to get into the habit to be able to do that. Satan, it is written. I say this to the powers of darkness. It is written. I say this to the foul spirits that come against me. It is written. The Lord is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my shield. He is my deliverer. I will call upon him and he shall deliver me. So you get behind me and the Lord lifts up a standard against you. In the name of Jesus, you must flee. I have been bought with a price. You are defeated. You are bound. Folks, we need to speak to the enemy with the sword of the Spirit. Now, I know that there are some of you that perhaps do not come from as demonstrative relationships. Some of you might say, you know, Nathan, that's easy for you, but I'm a little more timid than that. It's a little bit weird. It's odd. I wouldn't want anyone to hear me doing that. And folks, you know, it's true. It is foolish. The things of God to the natural man, they're pretty silly looking. Look at that person talking to himself. They should put him in a mental hospital. You know, folks, that's true. Some people would think you're a nut. So if possible, and if it's that difficult for you, get away where you're alone. The Bible says to do that anyway. It says go into your prayer closet, go hide. Jesus went alone. He went off into the woods alone. He went off into the garden alone. He always separated himself. Separate yourself and go off alone and talk to God. And then if you need to do spiritual warfare, do it while you're alone. But do it in faith and do it in confidence. But folks, it needs to be done because it says in Revelation, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. The word, my friends, we need to have that sword by our side like Nehemiah had. And we must rally others with strength. Nehemiah rallied the people of God together. There is strength in numbers. So get together with others that are like-minded. Worship with them. Pray with them. Fellowship with them. Pray for one another. While they were building the wall, some were watching with their weapons, and then some were working. So it's good to be able to come together with others if you have that privilege where you live and have others pray for you and you pray for them with swords and spears and bows and mortar. We need to fight for one another, just like they, in Nehemiah 4:14, they fought for their brethren. Now, that is one of the first observations. The walls are very, very important, folks. The hedge of God's protection is vital. That cannot be stated enough. But if the hedge is ignored, then attacks are going to come through. That's just simple spiritual math. The attacks will come through. So if you have found yourselves constantly under attack, there's some homework to be done. Now, if some of you are listening and you're saying, Nathan, okay, that's fine. My walls are a mess, but I'm a mess. I'm defeated. I'm beat up. I don't have the strength to be quoting scripture and walking around my property. I don't even think God hears me when I pray. I feel guilty. I'm actually not that strong or close to God right now because I've been stumbling too much. Nathan, what about that person? What about me? My listening friend, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pretty sure that there are many of you like that. I know that not all individuals have the strength to be working on their walls. Some people are beat up, and I acknowledge that. I agree. I see it. I read your emails. So there's another observation that I'm going to share right now. And I want to say this, folks. Please listen to this next portion that I'm going to share, because those of you that are beat up, defeated, you feel like you're out of fellowship, you want God, but you just feel too guilty. There's a lot of stories represented by those that are listening. And this next thing that I'm going to share is going to be beautiful, and it's going to be powerful. Well, folks, it looks like we have run out of time, so this is going to be the end of part one. Please go to part two for the conclusion of this program, already in progress.